Hey, what's poppin'? You are listening to the best of the DMP, and it's brought to you by our friends at Hall Financial, of course. Hall Financial offering that Easy Start program, 1% off the first year of your mortgage. You could save up to $2,000 for free. Why pay more for your mortgage when you don't have to? Check out the Easy Start program with Hall Financial. If you're ready to step into a new home with an initial rate in the fives, then give them a call at 866-CALL-HALL or chat with them online at callhallfirst.com. Start the new year off with a gift from our friends at Hall Financial. And now enjoy, maybe for the second time, maybe the first, the best of the program.
Yeah, right.
Speaking of music, I realize I've been a skeptic about some of these music prodigies who have come along over the years, mm-hmm. whether it's Nandy or Thumbs Down Ryan. Or who's the three-year-old that played with the Boston Pops that made me so mad?
Alma.
Oh, Alma. That's that little girl who runs around the yard singing.
Yes. Sees music as colors and has her little treehouse.
Wait, I don't see her in the charts yet. Anybody seen her on the charts? No. Where is she? I don't understand it. If there's such prodigies, why aren't they on the charts?
I didn't check the classical music charts.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She's really into classical. She's such a little snob. I hated her. I hated her parents. I hate her! So now along comes Miles, and Miles is a prodigy, and CBS just couldn't wait to do a story about seven-year-old Miles. And remember now, child stars are on the charts. Kids can be on the charts just like adults.
Uh-huh.
So keep that in mind as you watch the amazing skills.
As we remember a giant of Miles' past, Luke Burbank gives us a glimpse at a young fellow who could be part of music.
I just want to say, too, okay, for those watching, you can see Mo Rocca there. I started watching this yesterday, and Charlotte just goes, "Ah, that guy's creeping me out." And I said, "Yeah, he looks kind of creepy. Is it the hair or is it the shirt? Because he's got, like, silver hair. I don't know, it's a weird color hair.
It's the entire ensemble.
Isn't it kind of a khaki suit with a yellow tie and a pink shirt?
Yeah. I just like that. And then she said, he's creeping me out.
It's like part Easter of music's clothes on. Future.
Big
this
part of music's future.
This is my trombone. It's that called kid. A P-bone because it's for kids.
Meet P-bone. Miles.
It's kind of subtle, but it's really cocky.
That's what he calls his wiener, cocky.
Okay, that would be a C.
But also the guitar.
Oh, that's incredible.
The piano.
Of course, it's a Beatles song.
Saxophone.
That sounds like that saxophone drop we have.
Drums.
Needs to pick one.
Violin.
What a great move on the drums.
And those might not even be his most amazing talents. You see, because Miles, who just turned seven, is also able to edit all of those sounds together and add in his own vocals.
His voice sucks, first of all.
Using sophisticated software to make his own songs.
Come on, his voice sucks.
No, his voice sucks.
From other artists, note for note.
Oh, get this.
I walk this empty street.
Oh, Green Day sues him. I don't know for what. I just want him to sue him.
Your voice sucks.
Part of our what?
Like an early song that you could play that you were like, oh my gosh, I can actually do this. I can play this whole song.
Knocking on Heaven's Door, I think.
Really?
Yeah, it's easy.
Oh, it's easy. It's so arrogant. Knocking on what?
Well, easy for Miles, the music
so easy,
hollow doll.
Right? As he goes by. Miles knows a good song when he hears it. And a number of celebrities have been noticing.
Clout chasing.
Wait, I got a serious question because someone on the post said this. They're wondering, is he deaf? Is the kid deaf or anything?
Oh, I hope not.
So he has no disabilities?
Look at these celebrity clout chasers.
Miles.
Questlove.
My man. My peer.
No, he's not your peer.
Remember those drums? Those were a gift from Questlove himself.
He doesn't need free shit.
So impressive.
He's even gotten shout-outs from some of his personal favorites
headphones?
When it comes to music production.
That's a baby headphone alert.
Pop star Charlie Puth.
Wait, headphones at a Charlie Puth concert? Really?
Those must be the softest ears.
Oh.
Baby headphone alert. Baby headphone alert.
I mean, Charlie Poof is playing behind a piano. Was it that loud? God.
Charlie Puth chasing clout also.
And DJ and legendary music producer Mark Ronson himself, who's collaborated with the likes of Lady Gaga, Bruno Mars, and Amy Winehouse for this version of Valerie.
Oh, can't wait to hear this version.
Who? People like Mark Ronson are calling you a musical genius.
Yeah.
How does that feel to hear?
Just very, very, very happy.
Yeah, you think it fits.
So cocky as hell.
G-sharp minor.
It certainly helps that Miles.
Can we knock this kid down a notch? I mean, this is ridiculous.
Isn't that what we're doing?
Perfect pitch.
Well, we are, but nobody else is.
D major 7, very good.
Why are you not allowed to grade kids when people say they're prodigies?
His parents are not professional musicians.
Can we also see him throw a ball?
I'm just focused on being an awesome mom.
On social media, people will comment and say, oh, for sure, dad is this big name producer. Who is he? And they're trying to guess which big name producer is the dad. And yeah.
Now listen to this coming up.
Miles' dad, who's a software developer, started sharing videos a couple of years ago with his friends and family.
Yeah, right.
They convinced him to start posting on social media
because they didn't want to receive him anymore.
For the world to see.
Just post those on social media.
Ooh, brushing my teeth, pretty brilliant. How'd you come up with that?
And that yet, despite sucks. All this,
really relatable.
Miles' parents are trying to preserve at least some level of normalcy for the family.
Yeah, that's why they're doing this story on CBS this morning.
Not to fully identify them or Miles in this piece.
Oh, no one can possibly figure out who it is.
It's a small part of his life, and we try to make it
somebody
separate
dox him.
From his real personal life.
Our number one job as parents is first and foremost to protect our kids.
By second, putting them all over social media.
Get over yourself. You didn't
You'll
help by doing this story.
Be happy for him, whatever career path he ends up choosing.
Of course, his parents
Absolutely.
Is to protect him.
Yeah.
One of the commenters on YouTube wants mom to do OnlyFans.
Bad looking.
The coolest song ever.
Okay, I like it. How long have you been working on the coolest song ever?
Slut. Oh, let's hear it. Oh, I can't wait to hear it.
Arrogant.
Wherever Miles ends up, career-wise,
no, it's already not as cool as Hey Jude. So it's not the coolest song ever.
Slash coder slash chef.
That.
By the way,
oh, you think this is cooler than Hey Jude?
He's also a chef.
I don't see it on the charts.
He's on the right track.
Not done doing it.
Or tracks.
This sounds like he's.
Sounds awful.
Well, I'll be looking for him on the charts. When did the new top 40 come out? Sure, he'll be on there
every Tuesday. I'm done. CBS loves ruining little kids, don't they?
I know, it really is. It really is.
Their number one thing. Here's a prodigy, and everybody makes fun of them. And
they know what they're doing.
They just flame out.
Do you guys remember ever seeing a story about a music prodigy and then going, oh, he's on the charts now. I've been waiting 10 years for this.
Just Derek.
No.
What?
Derek is not on the charts.
He should be.
Can we play some audio of Derek? I love Derek.
His YouTube channel is the best.
Phil! Hello, Phil!
I wish he was on the charts.
I am so good at music.
Now, Derek's the only one that can say that, and I don't get pissed off at him.
Me too.
Because he can do that.
I can do that.
I'm trying to think of people that were actually, you know, maybe 17 or 18 and they said they were prodigies. Because I don't think most of those people even made it. Like, who I remember was a big deal. Remember Charlie Sexton when he was a young guitar player?
Very hot, too.
Yeah. Well, he was good.
Yeah.
And
he's
done something.
There's that.
Prodigy. Is he really proven to be?
There is one.
Greatest.
There is one prodigy I know. And it's Bruno Mars, because he was getting all these interviews when he was 5, 6 years old.
Oh, was he?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's like the Tiger Woods of music.
Oh, I know one. Michael Jackson. Stevie Wonder.
You know, I got to say, those Jackson 5 songs were great songs.
They were.
Oh, ABC, The Love You Save. Who wrote those?
Probably Joe.
No, I don't think so.
Well.
I'll Be There. That's been a hit twice, number one. Those aren't Motown Holland Dozier Holland songs, I don't believe. Or are they?
Oh, he wrote them himself.
Maybe they are.
No, Joe wrote
Can somebody look that up?
Joe wrote them?
No.
No. Joe did not write them.
We'll take credit for them.
Billy Joe Arms.
I'll Be There, Brandon.
He was, he was singing along with, you know, the Green Day song, and I happen to remember hearing Billy Joe.
Oh, God, those vocals sucked.
The Corporation.
Billy Joe
wrote.
Armstrong was like a kind of not a child prodigy, but he used to perform when he was a little kid. He used to do like show tunes and things like that.
And he sang better
than that little kid sang the Green Day. I'm just saying.
The Corporation, which is mainly Berry Gordy, wrote. Looks like they wrote a lot of the Jackson 5.
J5 tunes.
Mm-hmm. There's a conglomerate with Hal Davis, Bob West, and Willie Hutch, along with Berry Gordy.
All right. Well, they were. No, those are great, great songs. And Jackson was incredible when he was 12. I mean, really, 12 is the perfect number for Jackson, isn't it? Always? His whole life? 12.
Oh, that's weird.
Love 12.
Oh, my God. That's why he loves 12.
No, he was his best. He was really good then. He did get better as an adult, but those songs are fantastic. I bet you they get almost as many streams as his biggest songs. I wouldn't be surprised at all. And they're 50 years old.
I was thinking about adopting 2 kids from each continent around the world.
I will say Late Night brought us something fantastic. Fantastic. And it was on the Stephen Colbert Show with John Oliver.
Yeah, I don't know. I wasn't as excited about it until I started digging deep on beyond what they were talking about. But yeah, John Oliver told a story that surprised me, although it shouldn't have.
I thought
because John Oliver was doing stand-up in the UK, so I should have only imagined that he crossed paths with someone as great as the person he's going to describe.
Now, you started your career as a stand-up. Do you have any memorable people that you toured with, people you remember when you started out?
I mean, the beauty with stand-up is it's a fundamentally humiliating job, right? I think it's good for the human soul. And the lowest it ever got for me was I did a gig at the University of East Anglia, and my manager said, you're going to go in the middle. It's 3 acts. You're going to go in the middle. All of that was true.
Oh, boy.
But he left out some key specifics that would have been helpful to know at the time. One was that the first act, the opening act, was a guy called Mr. Methane, who was a kind of character act in Britain at the time. I believe he's still around. And he is. A guy in a kind of skin-tight green lycra suit, whose talent was that he could fart. On command.
How can everyone not know who Mr. Methane is by now?
Especially him.
Blue Danube.
He blew out some birthday candles on a cake. And then he farted the national anthem.
And your national anthem.
That's
God
right.
Save the Queen.
God Save the Queen, or the King, but it all sounds the same when it comes out of his rectum.
So wait, could he hold a note? Or
yes,
is it
he
just
could.
Rhythm?
It was genuinely impressive, and you need to understand how much that audience loved what they were. There was a genuine sense
of simpler time.
Of patriotism in the room. Of I'm hearing
stand
the British
sparked,
national anthem like, the way it's supposed to be heard. It's recognisably being farted into a microphone being held 0 inches away from the man's
inside
anus. Now, you might be wondering,
I am.
Were there 2 microphones available to the performers that night?
Nope.
No. Microphone singular. So I went onto a stage to an audience who were just sitting down after giving him a standing ovation. And I'll be honest, my 20 minutes of jokes about Britain's involvement in the Iraq War didn't go down as well as what Mr. Methane had done. I bombed. Then the final act of the evening was a guy called Stevie Starr, who called himself the world's only professional regurgitator.
Oh, my God.
And I saw him swallow and bring back a light bulb, a pool ball, and a goldfish. Yes, it's the goldfish that stuck with me, too.
A live goldfish.
A live goldfish.
Live down and live when it came back up.
Live when it came back up.
The main point is he gave a big shout-out to Mr. Methane.
But I would swear to you that goldfish looked at me standing at the side of the stage with a look in its eyes that said, kill me now.
Did you see the...
Amazing. Mr. Methane.
Yeah.
Whoa,
that's Mr.
awesome.
Methane. I immediately went to search on Mr. Methane. What's Methane up to these days? And I stumbled into this thing of Methane, first of all, farting out. Well, actually, you know what we should do first is the interview as with the guy who has the farting app, where you can load your farts onto this app, and anybody in the world can hear your fart.
Oh,
wow. Nice.
And it blinks and shows wherever people are farting around the world at that time.
Wow.
Yes, it's amazing.
Oh, what a great use of technology.
You know, Jim, set this app up on your phone. We got to figure out how
this I got
works.
A few farts on there. I can load it.
Hello, it's Mr. Methane here. I'm at Eve's place. Now, Eve is the creator.
He's in France.
Fart Globe, the world's number one
fart globe.
Eve, Thank you for inviting me here. Nice to meet you. It's lovely. It's a lovely day in Paris.
It's great to see when this app is working and all the blinking farts on the globe. It's incredible.
Because, I'm going to have to get one of these. Tell us a little bit about it. It's hard to explain all the functionality, what makes it so special.
Thank you, Mr. Methane. First,
sharing a megaphone.
I realized there were a lot.
I wouldn't share.
I'm not sure why.
We're all about fart banks, pre-recorded fart sounds. And I said, well, you know what? This is level one. And then I wanted to go further and further. So this app is truly a third generation, latest API.
This guy's really artsy looking dude too.
And it actually involves live farters. So you've got a 3D.
Your sound
globe.
So there's the app.
Sleep.
It's the globe.
Look at the blinks on the globe.
Every blink is somebody's fart.
That's a fart. Yes.
A lot of farts on the East Coast.
Yeah. A lot in Europe. Not many in Africa.
And then you can
they fart a lot.
There's got to be a few hundred thousand people on this app.
Into a database. So it's all about the user's experience from a user's point of view as well.
I don't think it's around anymore.
Could you just show me the actual globe?
What? Fartglobe.com?
How could that fail?
That could never get old.
I found a story from 2009 about it.
Wow. So those are actually the farts.
This was just ahead of its time. Somebody's got to remake this app.
You're right.
This moment, there's 180 people farting around the world. So we see there's a lot of...
Only 180.
And there's a few down
180 that have the app. 180 of all the people that have the app are farting right now.
Let's take a look at this fart in Florida.
That's it. You see that we're there in France, right there.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then you see there's a few in China as well.
Oh,
Japan's
yes.
farting, you know. Yes. Farting
Japan's farting,
yeah.
too.
The app is Spanish, French, English, Spanish, Japanese, and Mandarin, which is the mainstream language in China.
So once the Spanish, I reckon South America will take off with the Spanish.
Exactly.
These people all have, they can record their own farts. So could I record a Mr. Methane fart?
Yeah, you could actually indeed.
I mean, you have been.
Of course he's going to.
All right, you're ready. Okay.
He's got his phone set up. You can see the levels on the phone.
Now, look at this VU meter going up and down.
That's good. That was a 21-second fart, so I enter your
name
here. You see, Mr. Methane.
Oh yeah, Mr. Methane.
And then I submit it.
Diamond encrusted glasses.
I submit it to the server.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's not in the database, and any users that buy FartGlobe can actually retrace back all Mr. Methane farts as well as any other user's farts.
That will be called my back catalog.
back catalog.
That's worth the price of admission, Mr. Methane's farts.
And I could actually turn that fart into a ringtone.
Yeah, exactly. That's another feature in FartGlobe. You can actually transform your own farts into ringtones.
It was too brilliant to succeed.
You can use them through your Twitter account, Facebook account, and Bing account as well.
Wow.
So you are literally the man through creating FartGlobe. You are the man who's put the ring into ringtone. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen. It's Eve, the man who's put the ring into ringtone. Eve, it's a fantastic application. What I think is good about it is we can all connect as a community. You know, farters don't need to feel isolated.
There are a couple of farts left.
You know,
don't worry. He has more farts.
We all fart, even the Queen, though she does blame it on those little corgi dogs she has. But we all break wind, and we can all connect with one another with the FartGlobe fart.
That's a beautiful idea.
It's available in the Apple Store.
Makes it sound so great.
All I can say is I'm so excited. I just want to get out on the streets and do a little bit of farting myself, you know?
How about that idea?
So I'll just charge up and then I'm going to launch myself out the door, okay? Thank you very much, Eve.
Thanks, Mr. Meeting.
And,
I love the way the FartGlobe guy holds his phone up so you can see the levels.
But he's trying to lean as far away as possible.
Are you going to fart in my face again?
Sorry.
Oh,
he's running. Got a couple more. Over the closing credits. How adorable. Wow. And then Methane goes out and he takes up residence in front of a really famous restaurant in Paris. and he's just on his back with his legs in the air with a megaphone held up to his ass.
Great.
It's Mr. Methane here in Paris. I'm outside the world-famous Fouquet's. I've just had the duck a l'orange, and, well, the food was great, but the farting's going to be even better, I can tell you. Let's do it.
Just in front of everyone.
All the people laughing.
Same microphone.
Oh, that girl's pissed.
That old man doesn't seem to like it too much.
David Crosby?
He's fighting a smile. People recording on their phones.
Come on. Okay, last one.
Here we go, Randy.
People are turning around while they're walking away. That guy's about 80. He's recording him.
People are running over.
Everyone is smiling.
That's great. Outside of Louis Vuitton.
Well, that's Fart Globe, the Globe's favorite fart application. Let's go and see the rest of Paris.
So the Fart Globe guy obviously hired Methane to promote the Fart Globe app.
I mean, no yes. one better, right?
No, of course not.
Wow.
It's not around anymore.
You so, want to see what
John... He said when you pay for the app, you get. So obviously, I think he was overcharged. I mean, isn't it hard to charge people for apps?
Yeah, you really can't.
You want to see the act that John Oliver had to follow? It's the...
the powder.
Yeah, the blue Danube.
Oh, yeah.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
And a lovely lady holding the microphone up to his ass.
All right.
Try some music. Yes, James, if it's possible, I'd like to do a track from my album, MrMethane.com.
Yes.
This is the Blue Danube.
Okay, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, from Mr. Methane's current and top-selling album.
Oh, you can see it.
Yeah, you can see he's got talcum powder on his anus. You can see it flying a little bit with every fart.
Ooh.
Even the girl holding the microphone is laughing.
She can't help it. Oh my God.
How does he hit the high notes? Oh my God.
Oh,
everyone loves that final blast. Are you holding off on buying a new home because you're waiting for mortgage interest rates to drop? At Hall Financial, they already have. Not only does Hall Financial offer the lowest fees and best rates, but now Hall Financial will give you a 1% reduction on your interest rate the first year of your mortgage for free. Why pay more for your mortgage when you don't have to? This is more than a rate cut, it's a gift. Imagine saving nearly $2,000 in the first year alone on your monthly payments. If you're buying a home and not taking advantage of their Easy Start program, you're overpaying. Are you ready to step into your new home with an initial rate in the fives? Give them a call at 866-CALL-HALL or chat with them online at Call Hall First. Start your new year with a gift from our friends at Hall Financial.
Thanks, Hall Financial.
The Lions are back in the playoffs. Maz is slinging rides. And I finally have more Twitter followers than Adam Rich. Yes. So what's next? The Tigers win the World Series and I go back to radio? Yeah, I don't think so. While nothing is impossible, I can tell you what is possible and happening right now with our friends and studio sponsors, Zot Ford and Holly. Right now, Anthony, Gabara, Maz, and the whole team have tons of new and pre-loved cars, trucks, and SUVs in stock and ready to go home with you today. Plus, high rebates, low payments, and big savings we haven't seen in a couple of years. Don't forget, Zot Ford is the leader when it comes to picking up and dropping off your car for maintenance and service. Not to mention, with their mobile repair van, they can do all kinds of recalls and basic service right at your home or office. Remember, we love our sponsors, they love us, and the best way to support the podcast is by supporting our sponsors. So please give Maz a call and let him take care of all your automotive needs. Leave him a voicemail at 248-660-9133, because we both know he won't answer the phone. Surf their sexy deals and seductive inventory at dealsinthed.com.
Come to Lady Jane's for an award-winning haircut experience. And while you're there, register for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to win an all-expenses-paid suite for the 2024 NCAA tournament for you and five of your best buds. Lady Jane's Haircuts for Men opens 7 days a week. Walk in anytime. It's wicked awesome.
A list I got today from Rolling Stone, which I generally complain more about Rolling Stone lists than agree with them. Mm. But this is, I don't think they had too much trouble with this list. But, you know, as with all lists, there's problems, but there's some great stuff in here. The 50 worst decisions in television history.
Oh.
I know. There's so many things you could put in here.
Really?
They start off with producer Mike Richards anoints himself the new host when Alex Trebek died. And then you remember he got Me Too'd
classic.
A week later.
But everybody hated him anyway.
Yeah, they did. No, he was totally despised. He was
so full of himself.
He was arrogant, yeah.
Yeah, he was totally Me Too'd, and that was that. America's Top Models has to switch ethnicities. White models were in blackface. Black models were wearing wigs. That was in 2005.
Really?
Yeah, and I guess nobody really cared at the time, which is funny.
No, but then they care after.
Yeah, they do. I know, you have to remember that. You're going to get nailed in 15 years. Number 48, the Geico cavemen get their own sitcom. I don't know if you remember that.
It bombed.
Yeah. It was a total bomb. But
that was a good commercial run.
It was great. The commercial was great.
That was the beginning when insurance commercials were amusing, and now they're not amusing anymore because
you don't like
trying too hard. No.
I'm kidding.
Nor do I like the Liberty Mutual, whatever.
The emu?
Yeah, that emu.
You don't like the emu?
No.
I feel like I don't know what's going on when people are talking about commercials. I feel like there's a different species around me or something because I don't watch commercials. I speed through them.
Ooh.
Well, what's wrong with speeding through them?
Commercials have the power to change the world.
You want to watch it live in the morning?
I see some commercials.
Yeah, but
some
streamers, you can't. You're forced to.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. Peacock or something
like that. No, I'm not totally against commercials, as I'm sure everyone should and needs to know, because we do rely on them. Number 47, Disney Plus refuses to let Lizzie McGuire grow up. Oh! 46, this is one I never understood. This should be higher than 46. SNL fires Adam Sandler and Chris Farley after the 94-95 season.
So dumb.
Because they weren't funny anymore.
I don't know about that.
I don't know about that either.
They were pretty fucking funny.
I think you're wrong about that. They were also making more money, and they got rid of a bunch of people, and they just decided to sweep out them too. What a stupid thing to do. Proven.
Didn't Lauren collaborate on Sandler's movies, or did Sandler?
Yeah, he does with all those movies, doesn't he? Pretty much.
They weren't funny for SNL, but they were funny enough for movies.
Yeah, I think Lauren lets other people fire people, and then if he wants to really fight for somebody, he probably does.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah.
Anyway, let's see. 45. HBO tries to make a season in Sex in the City for men. The Mind of the Married Man. That was a bomb.
That's really dumb.
Number 44 is Cop Rock. Cops sing and dance. Remember that? That was a Stephen Bochco thing. Number 43. I'm going to disagree with this because I used to watch the show ABC's The Swan, where they took really gross women and made them hot with plastic surgery.
Yeah, what did they say was wrong with it? Is it not politically correct?
I have no problem. I don't know what could be wrong. I don't know what they're talking about.
You can't say women are ugly.
Rolling Stone says it's impossible to know the impact that this show had on its viewers.
Oh,
but
shut
everyone
up.
Involved in this project should be ashamed.
Talk to Instagram.
Everyone should be ashamed.
Bullshit.
Who did they really? Were they really effective though, or did they just give them a makeover?
Oh, they made them look hot.
They
threw new tubes in them. They fixed their noses and their chins.
They did it all.
Their hair, everything.
Probably liability.
Number 42. Fox News tries to make their own daily show, the half hour. News Hour.
Oof.
I don't even remember that.
I don't remember it either.
Number 41. I'm going to disagree with 41, too. Geraldo opens Al Capone's vault. That was exciting.
You never know. You never know what was in there.
I thought it was a cool show until he opened it up and there was nothing there. I mean, he didn't know. They had a medical examiner on site, by the way, in case there were dead bodies inside.
Just in case.
Looking for treasure.
Number 40. We're talking about the worst decisions in television history. Ren and Stimpy's Adult Party.
Did you watch that? Yeah, I used to watch the show. I don't remember.
Well, when they got into the adult version, it was
They tried
edgy.
To do an adult version that kids couldn't watch.
Ended them then?
I guess it didn't do as well.
They were kind of a phenomenon for a while.
Oh my God, I so agree with number 39.
I know, I feel like they stole number 39 from me because I've been calling MTV the Ridiculousness Channel for a long time. MTV gives up and becomes the Ridiculousness Channel.
MTV is old.
They reference their 48-episode days. They do. They've had weeks where there's almost nothing but ridiculousness, spelled by catfish and the challenge occasionally. And they mentioned that MTV just in general gave up. Their last hit was Jersey Shore. That's the last hit show they came up with. What happened to MTV?
I think they're still trying to put out new Jersey Shores. That's aren't.
They
good.
Do.
Yeah.
Vacation.
Yeah. Yeah, Sammy Sweetheart's back.
Yeah, but
remember when they used to do shows like Remote Control and they had
all the music,
put
right?
the band together show, which I was just watching those episodes. I was really enjoying those.
Singled Out stuff.
Yeah,
like
they
that.
Had a lot of shows. There was a lot of fun in that network. Number 38, Family Matters disappears Judy Winslow.
This was weird.
That was because Urkel started dating the other sister.
Well, Urkel wasn't supposed to be the star he was in season one, but he was such a big star they had to make him a main character, and so they just too many kids, so they got rid of the oldest daughter because she was boring.
They say she went to college
or
something?
Nope, she just disappeared and they never talked about her again.
She was abducted.
Really?
37, Star Trek and Gilligan's Island canceled after the third season.
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, that sucked.
And you know what else was canceled really early? Batman was only, what, two or three seasons?
Really?
And I think the monkeys.
Did they make 100 episodes per season back then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did make a lot.
Not 100. No way.
They would make a lot of episodes per season.
There's only like 34 Batman episodes.
Really?
Yeah, I know it's less than 50. You could look it up.
Maybe that's what made it so good.
100 episodes would be 2 episodes. That'd be 2 episodes a week.
Right, there's a total of 98 episodes of Gilligan's Island.
But what if they made
that's
like,
over 3 years?
Yeah.
What if they made 500? Would it be as good?
Well, I think of Gilligan's Island as having a ton of shows. Like when I look back at it, I mean, it was back in the 60s. I didn't know there was
a new one though. If they said, "Hey, there's a new lost episode of Gilligan's Island," I'd watch it.
Well, if it was a lost episode, not an attempt at a new one. Well, everyone's dead, aren't they?
No, there was one they made back then that they just, right? we just found this. It's crazy.
Yeah. I would have loved to have seen, like, them get stoned or something. Like,
yeah, it was the
cool
60s.
Like that. Yeah.
Number 36, ABC gives us way too much Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and spoils the show. Oh. Absolutely, they did. Once a week, it was an event. Everyone loved that show, and then all of a sudden it was on 3 times a week. It was so stupid. They blew it. You blew it!
like I was going to say, Gilligan's Island. If they would have done too much, or Batman, maybe it would have been too much.
You blew it! I don't think we're going to... I mean...
We'll never know.
Can't do too much.
No, we will not.
Gilligan's Island.
Mad About You reboots on Spectrum after 20 years. That was apparently a disaster.
Wait, nobody watched it.
Here's one. I don't know how they can already say this, but HBO Max dumps the HBO.
I agree with that.
Max. Yeah. I don't really know why they did that, because it just meant that I had to reprogram a couple things, which was annoying as fuck.
Right.
Number 33, Fox News and CNN create streaming platforms. Both of those bombed. Ugh. Just bombed. And CNN spent a ton of money on that, too. Number 32, Dan Rather fails to vet supposed George W. Bush documents about going AWOL from the National Guard. He lost his job.
Yeah.
That's interesting, because I think what Dan Rather uncovered, even though the documents were fake, I think they were true.
Yeah.
George Bush did go AWOL, it sounded like.
I think that's what was revealed.
And those fake documents actually rescued George Bush, because once they found that the documents were fake, it was like, oh, well, then he couldn't have done it, because they're fake documents. And it never really came up again.
Yeah.
31, Quantum Leap reboots without Scott Bakula.
Oh, you got to have Bakula. No. You got to have Bakula.
Crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. Number 30, Academy Wars, ask James Franco to co-host.
Was that because of his Me Too action?
No, it was before that.
Because
it was
boring.
Oh, okay.
But it was with Anne Hathaway, and I remember when it happened, everybody was so disappointed.
It was terrible.
Why did he take the brunt of that and not...
Anne Hathaway, yes.
I don't know. They both deserve the brunt. She was terrible, too.
She was terrible, too. Yeah.
By the way.
Equally terrible.
What happened to Anne Hathaway?
Well, I don't know.
She was in Interstellar, one of the best movies ever.
But does she look different?
When was Interstellar, Jim?
Probably 2017 or so.
No, I mean, what's happened to her in the last 5-6 years? Where is she?
I don't know.
I mean, she was one of the hottest stars of the moment, like 6-7 years ago, right? Wasn't she?
Interstellar was 2014.
Yeah, she's 40 now, so maybe she's not getting those younger
roles for 40-year-old women.
Oh, put her out to pasture, for Christ's sake. My God, she's 40? I didn't know that.
Ugh, gross.
Oh, God, that's gross. Oh, my God.
Oh, now I'm going to throw up.
Laverne and Shirley dumps Shirley, number 29. That had to do with Shirley being pregnant and missing some bunch of episodes, and so they... returned the next year without her. It really didn't seem very important to me.
Well, you can't dump Laverne because she's like the...
How can you dump either one?
Well, she's Penny Marshall, though.
That's true. The Simpsons reveal that Principal Skinner is an imposter.
I remember feeling weird about it when that episode happened. I was a kid, and I remember going, wait a minute, he's lying to his mom?
No, that's pretty weird.
Not that it matters.
That episode.
Number 27, Joey Tribbiani gets his own show, Post Friends Joey. That lasted a season and a half, I guess. God. And that is number 27 of the 50 biggest worst decisions in TV history.
He got another one after that, though. I mean,
he had a couple shows after that, I think.
But did he do as well as Matthew Perry?
Yeah, I'd say he did. I'd say he did better than Matt Perry.
Science colon fire. Didn't explode.
Matt Perry was busy with the, what was it, the Acme machine or something?
ECMO.
ECMO, ECMO machine. ECMO. Yeah. Number 26, NBC poaches Megyn Kelly from Fox. Oh, was that awful.
Oh, God, that was brutal.
Was awful. Oh, my God, she did a talk show. It was so terrible. And then, you remember why she left?
She said blackface was okay.
She wondered,
is blackface, why is blackface on Halloween when you're being a character? Why is that a big deal? And she said, nobody ever said blackface was a big deal when she was in high school.
And she got fired for saying that.
She got lectured to death and then fired. I would have said, if you're going to lecture me, why don't you just fire me? Because it seems like you're going to fire me. Either do one or the other, because I don't want to take the lecture if I'm going to be fired. But
think about that. Megyn Kelly gets fired for saying something in high school. And Matt Lauer, molests all kinds of women and has a self-locking door. And it takes forever to get rid of him.
It did take. Well, he went fast when Me Too started. It did wipe some people out. Boom. But honestly, you know what? I've seen so many blackface stories where somebody, I forgot who it was. I think it was a politician who was Curtis Blow on Halloween. They just went after this guy. And it was like, I mean, I would think Curtis Blow would be delighted to know that some white guy wanted to be him on Halloween. What does that have to do with a minstrel show?
Curtis Blow.
I mean, seriously. And who was it that was Michael Jackson for Halloween wearing blackface? And was it the governor of Michigan or governor of Virginia?
Yeah.
And, I mean, what does that have to do with a minstrel show?
I have no idea.
He's impersonating someone.
Because they painted themselves like that. That's it.
What do you mean?
It gives somebody an opportunity to get angry.
It seems to me it's an homage to that person. You're celebrating that, but you love that person because you want to be them. Yeah, but
some people want to be Tina Turner.
Get the idea. Hey. I'm not going to do it. Yeah, that's right, Trudy. Don't you start popping off.
I'm going to stay silent.
And honestly, when you were Tina Turner, I never gave it a second thought. It never struck me for a minute that something terrible was going on. Maybe when you were Nicole Brown Simpson, that was probably more horrible. Although in the politically correct world, you'd be in more trouble for being Tina Turner.
Right.
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Stupid.
I love the Nicole.
That was great. That was a good outfit.
Yeah, like a slit throat.
Yeah, the knife was attached to your back.
wait, no, that was that tennis player. I did another.
Oh, Monica Seles.
Monica Seles. Because I got to wear a tennis skirt. That was my motivation for doing it.
Who can I be in a tennis skirt?
The girl that got stabbed.
Yeah.
Monica Seles. Number 25, Glee brings in a new Glee class. I guess when the class graduated from high school, followed them to college a little bit, but then they brought in a whole new, who cares?
Yeah.
Number 24, ESPN decides Rush Limbaugh would make a good football commentator. That was a dumb idea. Dennis Miller was a dumb idea, too. That was just, it just wasn't going to work.
Nope.
I don't know why, but it just wasn't. Number 23, CNN moves Don Lemon to mornings. Yeah, that didn't work out too well. 22, Arrested Development breaks with format with convoluted Netflix season. Did you guys watch that?
I never watched a Netflix season.
I did.
You did? Was it good?
No? It was weird because it was each one of them, you know, like doing a different line of the same story. So it was weird, but
okay.
I still liked that show and the guys who...
That's kind of what I figured, but I didn't watch that, the Netflix season. Okay, this one, I don't remember the state. State leaves MTV for CBS.
I didn't know they went to CBS. There's a lot of those guys that are still around.
Are they?
You see them in movies. Yeah, you definitely know some of those faces. Okay. It was a sketch comedy show.
Seinfeld kills off Susan in heartless fashion. That was George's girlfriend who died from licking envelopes. Because she was so cheap, she bought cheap envelopes. I thought that was awesome.
Yes.
I did too. She was sort of awkward.
Plus, wasn't she just not getting along with people behind the scenes, too?
Yeah, that was her thing,
So it was a good way to get rid of her.
Well, I certainly don't think it was one of the 50 worst decisions in TV history.
Nope.
But at number 18, Lost blows the ending.
Oh,
I agree.
It blew the last, like, four seasons.
Yeah, you're right, Jim.
The first season was really good, and then...
It was. It got progressively more annoying. I was so angry at that show.
Yeah.
Because I kept watching it. I was like, I guess I have to watch it because it's going to make sense somehow. And then it didn't.
Never did.
It's like the biggest waste of time. I was so into that show. And
well, you're right, Jim. It was a huge waste of time.
But I hated it the last couple seasons, but I still watched it just to see what happened. And it was like, really?
No, you're totally mirroring my experience because at that point, I fucking hated the responsibility of having to watch it. I didn't like what was going on. I didn't believe it was going to tie up. I didn't even care if it tied up anymore.
Nope.
I kind of didn't, but I watched it for Sawyer because he was super hot.
So hot. Oh.
And then everyone, Sawyer.
Sawyer.
I like Sawyer.
I don't even remember their names anymore.
He's hot. But who's the main guy?
Jack?
Jack, yeah.
Matthew
Fox. He's dead.
Didn't Jack like get effed up one time and get on a wrong bus and some really...
I don't remember.
Wait, in real life?
Yeah, like in real life.
Oh, really? He's had some stuff going. What's weird is that show was a very well-acted show, but what are all those people doing now? Where are they? Where's Hurley?
Hurley's been in some stuff. Evangeline Lilly.
Where's Hurley?
She's in the Ant-Man.
I haven't even thought about that guy.
Please don't. If you know this to be true, don't tell me. Hurley better still be fat. That's all I can say.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Okay. Remember Walt?
Because I do not.
The kid, Michael, was looking for his son, Walt.
Mike Clark was so annoyed with that.
He loved Walt!
And Locke!
John
Locke. Yes. Oh, boy. Here is Hurley today.
Oh, yeah, he looks great.
Well, at least he still looks like Hurley.
He just looks like fat Hurley still. He actually looks bigger, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that do-rag on his head and then a mask on top of it does not help.
It looks about right, though.
How does he reach? He's got his phone in his front pocket. I don't know if his arms are long enough to even reach in there.
That's funny, Jim.
He's so malformed.
At number 17, the Brady Bunch Variety Hour. Yeah, that was really bad. I was reading details about it. It was just horrible.
Can anybody explain to me why the maid was always with them everywhere they went?
Alice? I don't know.
She lived in their house.
I think people liked Ann B. Davis for some reason.
But in what reality is that ever happening where, you know, she went to Hawaii with them?
She was close to the family. She helped raise the children, Trudy. Aww. She was like a family member. At 16, the Ropers quit Three's Company for ill-fated spinoff.
That sucks.
Who cares? Number 15, Star Trek The Next Generation fires Gates McFadden before season two.
Oh, I hated that.
You did?
Yeah, it was the worst.
Are you bullshitting, Jim?
Big time.
Okay.
No idea.
At 14, Westworld confuses the shit out of everyone, 2016.
Yep.
Kind of agree. I love that show. I'd watch it. Have no idea what I watched, but
The first season was good, but then it just kind of turned into what the hell is going on?
I didn't see the most recent season. I gave up.
Number 13, The Office keeps going without Steve Carell.
I would have to kind of agree with that. It's just sad.
NBC cancels Baywatch after one season. Now, I did not know this. Baywatch went into syndication because NBC didn't want it after the first season. So its biggest years, the 11 years of Baywatch, which made over $1 billion, were made via syndication.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So NBC blew it. You blew it! They could have made a lot of money, and they gave up on it after one season.
So can I guess, maybe they won't, but it's similar. Is the Family Guy being... Well, we'll see if it's
was that
in there. It was canceled.
Was that on Fox originally?
Yeah.
Yeah. But they canceled it, and it was so big that they brought it back.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hmm.
Oh, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, too.
Quibi burns through $1.75 billion in 8 months.
I wonder when Quibi was going to be up.
That made me laugh because I remember reading about Quibi and how, oh, yeah, they've raised all this money. This is the greatest idea. It's going to be short, little bite-sized sandwiches of content. And I thought, what? And then you read about who they were hiring, like, oh, what's her name? That's married to John Legend.
Chrissy Teigen
got a couple million dollars
Reese
thrown at her. Oh, I know. That was just such a burn. And they just threw money to all these people. And it almost seemed like whoever the investors were just got so ripped off.
That sounds like a consultant thing where they're just like, people's attention spans are really short. Mm-hmm. And they're watching things on their phone. So this is how we'll do this.
Trudy, I think that's part of the reason why I love seeing that stuff fail.
Yeah.
Me too.
Me too.
Got this
on average,
big...
how long is Gen Z's attention span?
This is a very short 8 seconds.
That's why they were pretending it was going to work.
They took it literally.
David Caruso leaves NYPD Blue after one season. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And it was because he had movies, The Kiss of Death and Jade. And then both those movies bombed. And he was like he was the joke of network TV. And then he got CSI Miami. And that sort of, I think, cleaned it up a little bit.
But wasn't he the first, the inaugural Incredibly Pink Wiener?
He was, I think he might have been one of the first people we ascribed it to. that could well be. At number nine, we're talking about the 50 worst decisions in TV history. Number nine, networks call Florida for George Bush in 2000. Well, he did win Florida.
Election interference.
Even though they were
hanging
wrong.
Hanging chads.
That was just obnoxious. That was. We had no idea what was to come, too. We thought that was like the most obnoxious thing that could ever happen in the history of politics.
Whoa, we were wrong.
Woo! At number eight, HBO, TNT, Showtime, and FX turned down Breaking Bad. All of them turned it down. How about that?
Idiots.
It would have been really good on HBO. It was pretty awesome where it was.
Oh, my sure. God. Yeah.
Number seven, Fox gives Chevy Chase a talk show. That is well placed. It should be way up there because that was the worst talk show. It was horrible. And for some reason, there was still this unerring belief in Chevy Chase because he had some pretty big winning movies in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Had some losers, too, but he wasn't likable.
Yeah, that's what...
As a person. Yeah. He was unlikable.
Yeah, they said he was a prick.
At number six, NBC royally fucks up the Leno-Conan situation.
Sure
and
did.
If you remember that, Leno was supposed to work till 2009. Then the job was Conan's because mm-hmm. Conan was just coming up and killing it at 12:30. Mm-hmm. And then it got to 2009, and I was like, I don't want to leave. So they said, okay, Jay, we'll put you on at 10 o'clock, and that way Conan can have 11:30.
No.
But that fucked up 11:30.
Yeah.
Because Jay took away some of the late-night audience at 10 o'clock, and then it didn't work out well for either one of them terribly. And it ended up being a big mess. But I tell you what, when they were all fighting with each other, boy, was that funny. Yeah. That was fun. Because Letterman was mixed in it, too. Number five, Roseanne torches TV career with racist tweets.
See, I would have titled this number five differently. I would have titled it "They got rid of Roseanne Barr from her own TV show."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would agree with that statement.
And did she really have a hot TV career at that point?
Yeah, the show was doing well. It was. It's still on. The Conners is still on.
Is it really?
I think it is.
It's a show that's on that no one knows is on?
Yep.
I think it's on.
Really?
I'm pretty sure. Do you know, Brandon?
Yeah, it is on.
Number four, Norm Macdonald fired from SNL over hilarious O.J. Simpson jokes because Don Ohlmeyer was O.J.'s buddy and he didn't think they were funny. So, therefore, we could not enjoy Norm Macdonald even though he was fucking hilarious. That was so stupid. I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
Just because one asshole manager, Lorne, couldn't stand up for Norm? Really?
I mean, he's right. OJ was going to kill him, probably.
Well, didn't hurt Norm's career.
Oh,
number three, Fox passes on The Sopranos. Oh, ouch.
That's better for the consumer. It was better on HBO.
It was way better on HBO. Probably.
Number two, NBC turns Donald Trump into a television titan with The Apprentice in 2004.
That was the second worst TV decision ever. They put Donald Trump on TV.
That's a pretty funny show.
I actually enjoyed the show. Yeah. I did.
Put him on TV.
At number one, NBC cancels Freaks and Geeks with Seth Rogen,
Jason
Segel, Busy Phillips, Linda Cardellini. I mean, it had an amazing cast, but they were...
Star.
Teenagers, and I mean, it ran for one season. Is that really the number one worst decision?
It's got a cult following.
I mean, that and their...
No, it should have been done when they put Trump on TV. Can you believe NBC did that in 2004?
It was a very popular show.
That was the first one, though, is Freaks and Geeks?
Yeah, that was number one. I know. I think it's got some critics who made this list who are big Freaks and Geeks fans. There's a lot of people who do nothing but sit home and talk about Freaks and Geeks. I don't know why.
Oh, Biff from Back to the Future.
Mark Fellhauer might be one of them.
Freaks and Geeks is really good, but...
No, it is good. It was good. It was a cool show.
It just launched so many great comic minds, though, so...
I guess. I mean, although,
James,
you know,
Franco's,
what's funny?
Sure, that
Freaks and Geeks looks so much better like 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because... James Franco, he's a pariah now, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, there's some creepy stuff. I hate Seth Rogen. I don't know why. I don't like him anymore.
Really?
Well, yeah. Just he hasn't real, put out anything that's not fun. He's my not liking fun. In a long time.
Remember what he went on during the COVID and he complained about the you know, this isn't an open air room. You told me it's going to be an open air room. Remember that?
He's always going on to Congress and bitching about things. I don't know.
Alzheimer's. I mean, I think that's
I still don't,
somewhat
I,
of a
I don't,
valid
I don't,
thing
I don't need
to
Seth
about.
Rogen to be the professional on Congress to talk about Alzheimer's. Sorry.
Well, except his mom has it, and so or his wife's mom has it. So I feel like that's what he got mad.
He turned really sour. He gets in Twitter fights with people all the time. But I liked him as the stoner.
He is actually the most intense stoner.
I was not expecting that turn in his personality. Plus, I think I find that when he's in an argument, I probably agree with him about 20% of the time. Did you know thousands of our listeners have already called Legacy Partners to get help with their home and auto insurance needs? We get emails from you all the time singing their praises. Legacy has even helped listeners by fixing mistakes other agents have made, asking the right questions to get the right coverage put in place to properly protect you and help save you money at the same time. And chances are, if you haven't checked your rates in the last year, you're paying too much. So what are you waiting for? Put some money back in your own pocket. Give Legacy Partners a chance to help with your home, your cars, your life, or business insurance. And if you're on Medicare, take advantage of the annual open enrollment period and let Legacy's Medicare team review your option plans for free. Call them today, Legacy Partners, 586-209-4106, or visit our website and click the link to get started with your new quotes.
Window World is the largest replacement window company in the country with more than 230 locations. Window World has sold and installed more than 1 million windows a year for the past 15 consecutive years. They have a lifetime transferable warranty, including accidental glass breakage warranty. They install vinyl windows as well as aluminum clad wood windows, patio doors, and fiberglass entry doors. 1-800-WINDOW-WORLD is locally owned and operated by the Sheena family for 30 years. And the install manager, service techs, as well as the measure techs individually have 30-plus years of experience. You can have the best windows in the world, but if it's not installed right, it's not going to function correctly. Every window will be made custom fit for every opening, as well as we offer different colors for both the interior and the exterior. Licensed, insured, and lead-safe certified. Made in the USA, Window World cares, supports St. Jude Research Hospital with over $16 million in donations, and they have a military and veterans initiative, too. 1-800-WINDOW-WORLD or windowworlddetroit.com, and make sure to tell them the Drew and Mike Show sent you. There's our real estate sponsor, Christina Gennari, and our team at KW Domain. Real estate has been crazy for the past couple of years, but Christina has been doing this for more than 20 years, and she's seen all the ups and downs. Christina and her team are ready to help you find the home of your dreams when you're ready to make a move. So when it's time to move, go with the obvious choice, Christina Gennari. Go to soldchristina.com. That's soldchristina.com, the obvious choice in real estate. And she also sponsors The Drew and Mike Show on Detroit's Wheels, 7 a.m. to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Call her at 248-550-4788.
Brandon, did you look up the new place that's doing boner injections?
The newest? Oh, I didn't look. I didn't know there was a specific one place that
there's
was
one
doing
in. There's, yeah.
Lushful
they
Aesthetics, yeah.
Yeah, there's one in Detroit supposedly, too. Although,
yeah.
Would they be injecting boners? They probably do it 24 hours a day because there's probably so many boners that need injections.
Here, I can look this up. It's Lushful Aesthetics.
Aesthetics, yeah.
Okay. Let's get some bigger dicks.
Yeah, there's some guys who are just going in there like every 5 days for new injections. Yeah,
did you notice that guy's, what his job is? The one
the
guy.
Porn star?
Yeah, he's a gay porn star.
Yeah, Ray Dexter. He's added several inches.
And girth. Like, what was his girth? I think 7 inches of girth.
Jesus.
Yeah, 7.5.
He said his fans really like it. His fan. Wouldn't you like to brag about your penis? My fans really love my new penis.
Hi, thanks for contacting Lushful Aesthetics. This is Steven speaking.
Steven, I'm calling from Detroit, the Drew and Mike Show.
From where?
From Detroit. Calling from a show, the Drew and Mike Show. We heard that you guys were injecting penises and creating some really good work.
Yeah. Yes, we are. Dr. Bustamante specializes in that procedure.
Now, is that all you guys do? Pretty much you focus on penises and doing the injections pretty much at the exclusion of everything else?
No, so we're a full aesthetic practice. We do the range of facial and body aesthetic procedures as well as some sexual enhancement procedures. Dr. Bustamante is known for his Lushful Instant BBL, which is, you know, utilizing filler to give a very, you know, natural but increased volume to the buttocks, as well as his penis filler procedure and male enhancement jawline.
I got to tell you, from reading the story, it sounds like these penises look fantastic. Have you seen before and after pictures?
Yes, we do have before and after pictures available if you'd like to send us an email.
Oh.
At hello at lushfulaesthetics.com. We can provide information on the procedure and before and after photos.
Wait, you can't just put them on the website?
No. So we don't do that because, you know, we...
People are creeps.
Well, you'd be
because well, you guys don't want the hits.
You'd be overwhelmed with you know, your website would be, go down in no time.
With boner gazers.
Am I right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Have you had the procedure done?
No, I have not.
Okay.
But we, you know, Dr. Bustamante does treat about 3 patients a week on this procedure, so... He does it fairly often.
So filler kind of comes and goes sometimes, the kind that they put in faces and lips. Does
it's this, similar
is,
to that.
Is this the same?
Yes, it naturally dissolves, Trudy.
Does it dissolve, and so you have a deflation issue?
Well
a couple of years.
That way you need to get more put in. Yeah, tune-up.
Yeah, I noticed it's very expensive. It's $11,000 to $20,000. Are there grants available or scholarships?
So based on the pricing that was put in the article, that is kind of a range across different providers. Our specific pricing is a bit more affordable, and you can take a look at that on our website if you'd like. I'm happy to send that over to you.
Now, it also said that, so the filler lasts about 3 years in the shaft, but only 1 year in the glands or the head of the penis. So are you going to have a situation correct. Where you have this shrinking head on top of this thick shaft, like a Hershey's Kicks on a Coke can?
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. It's serious.
No, I'm being serious. Is it really,
humorous.
Is it noticeable from that 1 year or 2 year difference?
So patients can touch up for this procedure at any time that they like. If a patient does notice that they, you know, the glands has kind of gone down faster than the shaft, they can easily come in for a touch-up. It's pretty quick, and it's unlike the full procedure that might take an hour and a half. It could be in and out in 30 minutes. Hmm.
I can imagine some people not reading that fine print and freaking out because their glands have shrunk and their shaft is still thick.
Right. Well, I can't imagine how people
and that's
must
why
feel.
We do make the point to fully educate our patients, you know, up front. We put out all this education on social media, as well as, you know, we have blogs on our website. And, you know, we make sure that patients are fully educated before, you know, we move forward with treating them.
Oh, have you ever turned anybody down? I mean, guys are guys. They're going to want it bigger no matter what. Have you ever said, you know,
it's too much.
Yeah.
So not necessarily. I mean, you know, there are patients that may not be a candidate for the procedure.
Jonah Falvey.
You know, for, you know, some medical reasons. And, you know, what we do here is, you know, ethical practice. So we wouldn't treat someone for a procedure unless they were truly a candidate.
Gotcha.
How about Ray Dexter? Did you guys treat him? He's the porn star that was quoted in the story who said he'd added several inches. Did you guys treat him?
Yes. Yeah, so... Yeah, so he came in for a correction. So he had previously been treated elsewhere. He wasn't happy with the results. So we did go through the process of dissolving and correcting his penis filler. That video is available on our Twitter account if anyone does want to go take a look at that.
And I'm browsing his personal Twitter, and his penis looks great. It looks amazing. It's huge.
Yeah, one sharp penis, I got to say. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's
jumbo.
That guy is a walking advertisement for you guys.
Do you think his penis matches his face, though? I don't know. Not you, Brandon. I'm talking the expert. Oh, but you can answer, too.
No, he's in good shape. He's chiseled. He's got he's pretty large.
The guy's in great shape.
He looks a little small.
Yeah.
So now there's a franchise in Detroit, allegedly. Is that you guys?
No. Oh. We only have one location. We're located in Midtown by Bryant Park in New York City.
Okay, well, keep up the great work. It sounds like you guys are putting out some incredible penises.
You're an excellent spokesman for the company as well. Yeah.
But can you do this on your
lunch? Thank you so much.
On your lunch, like pop by and get it done and then go back to work?
Oh, yeah. Is there any recovery time?
Do you have to kind of wait or take it easy after?
So the afterwards, we just tell our patients to, you know, take the rest of the day easy if, you know, their job is just going back to the office and, you know, answering the phone, answering some emails. They can absolutely do that. No working out for 24 hours. Of course, there's going to be some abstinence when it comes to
sexual
intercourse.
Guy's going to want to check the volume displacement immediately.
2 weeks.
No, you have to wait. And
you'd mess it up.
Yeah, I don't want to screw it up.
Well, there is a post-care massage, so, you know,
the gentlemen don't have to
fully wait for that. But typically, we just ask for the 24 to 48 hours that, you know, we just relax and, you know, let everything start to settle and heal. And then from there, as you're comfortable, you can return to your normal activities. Hmm.
Huh? Well, I tell you what, it's really impressive, especially based on this Ray Dexter. I mean, that's and guys in the business too, so that can't hurt. But thanks so much. You've been really patient.
Thank
I know
you.
It's a lot. It's a goofy subject. Some people are very immature about it, but I think you've handled it wonderfully, and we do appreciate all your information.
Yes, you're welcome.
Okay.
Thank you so much for the impromptu.
That was great.
All right, take care.
Okay, see ya.
Bye-bye.
Oh my God, he's the best spokesman.
He's good.
Next to that guy from Bud Light.
If you're lucky, I can show it off and you can go to town. It looks so huge, that giant bulge in you. A fantasy come true. I'm singing ooh, ooh, ooh.
Too damn big.
I heard it from all the guys and every single freaking girl.
No
they
want to
try and take a ride. The biggest in the world.
Should we call Jonah? Because Jonah could be threatened by this.
I was just going to say the same thing. Let's just tell him somebody's thicker than him now.
Ray Dexter.
Ray Dexter's
too damn big.
It's just too damn big. Too damn big. My penis too damn big. Your penis too damn big. It's too damn big. They all complain when they try to go to town.
It's not true at all.
You can show off. How well can you go down?
Come on.
Might just be the biggest in history. No ruler can measure.
No,
your
I'm
massive,
not.
Huge pee-pee.
Don't call it a pee-pee.
Jonah!
Hey, this is Jonah Falcon.
Oh.
Please leave a message.
I'll just crank his song for him.
I'm the biggest in the world.
But in order to ride the beast, it must be unfurled.
Beast.
7, 8, 9, 10.
And it keeps growing.
Stop it.
Hey, Jonah. It's Detroit calling your friends in Detroit, and just wanted to let you know they're doing dissolvable injections at this place in New York, and apparently some of these guys are getting huge. I don't know if you heard about this, but one guy, I guess, is like 13 7/8. I don't know if you heard about this, but anyway, just want to get your comments, and we'll talk to you soon, hopefully. See ya!
Walk around with something like that. I mean, where does it fit? Does it hang down your leg? I bet everyone...
Oh, shut up.
Thank you. Oh, my God.
That is... Oh, my God.
Worst
and
song
it's
ever.
Hard to get that song out of your head.
Yes.
Nice, by the way, creating something else that everybody has to adhere to now. Like all these kids that are... watching porn and thinks that that's sex. Now they're going to see this Dexter guy and have to get their dicks injected.
Well, it costs a lot of money. And you have to go to New York.
Basically, Bezos is going to be gigantic.
Oh, he already is.
Done it.
Billionaires are
He's already
had
a transplant.
The rich just get bigger.
He has a dick transplant boy.
Yeah, he had it cut off that meme guy.
Yeah, he has a blood boy specifically for the penis.
What's that meme? The big hung guy? What's it called?
Barry Wood?
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trust me.
But he's got a big dick.
A lot of cold weather, a lot of snow, a lot of wear and tear on your house, and all this cold. It's the perfect time to introduce our sponsor, PAM, Public Adjusters of Michigan. And actually, it's not an introduction because they've been around, and a lot of people have used them for property insurance claims Like if your pipe bursts and you need to make an insurance claim for the damage, you should call Pam first. It can get you more money. They can handle the whole claims process. You don't say the wrong thing. They can even take over right in the middle and help you get through it and get you the money. Also, you know, if you're working on the middle of a claim, Pam guarantees to get you more than the insurance company offered you. So if you get more money and they do all the work, why wouldn't you have them do it? Go to callpamfirst.com or click the logo on our website.
Hey, don't forget our friends at Polyvu Family Dental. They offer full-service family dental work, over 600 five-star reviews, so many of those from being an Invisalign provider, where they can offer you, yes, straight teeth. Adults who didn't get braces or maybe are bothered by this their entire lives, you, too, can have a perfect smile. You can even see it beforehand, before you commit, by looking at their iTero digital scanner. You can see potential results in just minutes. They've got state-of-the-art technology, also the in-house Polyvu discount plan available for those without insurance. Very unusual. They're an Invisalign provider. They've done hundreds of cases. They offer financing options with no credit check. Serving ages 7+. Consultations are always free at Polyvu Family Dental, a full-service family dental office. Click the link on our website for Polyvu Family Dental.
Got to get yourself some joy mode, whether you're happy or unhappy with your performance in the bedroom. Why not perform even better? Joy Mode's sexual performance booster is like a pre-workout, but for sex. Designed to support erection quality, firmness, and sex drive, it contains clinically supported doses of arginine, nitrate, L-citrulline, Panax ginseng, and vitamin C. Not only is it the only supplement that you'll need in the bedroom, it's also supporting blood vessels, cardiovascular and heart health, athletic performance, blood pressure, general erection function, and here are the game changers. All ingredients have been assessed in peer-reviewed journals. All ingredients have been studied and researched in humans. I don't know about you, but I'll never go back to prescription or over-the-counter drugs after trying Joy Mode. I won't. I seriously won't. Small enough to fit in your wallet and take with you on the go, because you never know, and the perfect travel companion. Go to usejoymode.com/Drew and get 20% off with code Drew at checkout. That's 20% off and free shipping with code Drew at usejoymode.com/Drew. Great sex solved naturally.
It's showtime.
WATP.
Jocktober's great. It's good to hear it back again. And Carl, I can't believe you're actually, you've fallen into the Corey trap now. You know what I discovered, though? I didn't know that other people had discovered the Corey thing, that if you talk about Corey and you post it, you will get views. There are people.
I watch your guys' clips on YouTube, and now the algorithm is showing me Corey clips all over YouTube. So, yes.
I didn't know it, but I see that there are other shows or people who've discovered this and have, you know, maybe worn them all out or something. We just got started, and honestly, I had no idea until I'm like, wait, why is it every time we post Corey Feldman, it gets 6 times as many views? What is going on? But it just, it is what it is. So anyway, Carl, you found him on a podcast.
Yeah, so you guys know Harland Williams is comic, very funny guy.
Love that guy.
Yes, he has a show called Harland Highway Podcast. And to your point, Drew, this was an interview he did with Corey Feldman August 8th. So just a couple of months ago. This video has 80,000 views. Harland's YouTube channel only has 54,000 subs. Wow. So it's outperforming everything else on his channel.
And I want to say it's a good thing there is not a fact checker on the Harland Highway, because Corey says some crazy stuff. Like he claims 1 billion people watched him on the Today Show. 1 billion people.
Well, also, and I've been kind of obsessed with Corey Feldman for a while now, as you guys have. I remember when that doc came out that he was going to finally take down all of Hollywood
and
name names.
Yes.
I was one of the people who paid the $20 to watch that.
You did? You know, clip it, no way.
Use it on the creep off or something. And it was just a nothing burger. There was nothing going on.
Wow. I had no idea. Did it just cut off and freeze as he described on the Harland Highway?
No, it didn't. I watched it after the fact. I wasn't there for the premiere like he was talking about.
Okay, on that movie, you know, which is going to call out the child molesters of Hollywood, and he claims that they bombed the server and they overloaded it and froze it. And then he said they stole the stream, sold tickets for $10 more with a copycat website and sold DVDs. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he was suggesting that they were doing it to protect the people he was calling out, which I think is Charlie Sheen. But they'd already called out much bigger people like Les Moonves and Harvey Weinstein and Matt Lauer. Why would anyone be protecting Charlie Sheen with this giant conspiracy?
Well, yeah, that's the funny thing, too, because he never names Charlie Sheen on this interview with Harlan Williams, but I know that's who he's talking about.
Yeah.
And Harlan is like, so is this like an A-list celebrity? He goes, well, he used to be. It's like, yeah, who the fuck would even care? Charlie Sheen's already destroyed his reputation.
No, if they've taken down those giant people, why would they be protecting this person who's a former A-lister? It's just, it makes absolutely no sense.
Well, Drew, since you brought this up, I was going to go in order, but let's skip ahead because it does get this interview starts off silly and goofy. We'll get into some of that stuff, but it does get pretty heavy.
It was all fun. It was all good.
If you want to start with my track 14, this is where he's talking about how, like you said, not only did they shut down the movie, they shut down his ability to process payments.
They stole they froze the account, so you couldn't buy the tickets, right? So that means if no more money's coming through. They froze the account on my PayPal account at exactly $666,000 at 8 o'clock.
666.
Wow. How would you be able to time that so perfectly? I was pre-selling for a month and a half before that night, and somehow it landed at exactly that number. That tells me that they were controlling it the whole time.
Why does that mean they couldn't? Okay.
Mark, they're demons. You didn't know this?
That's right. Hollywood I forgot about that. Yes.
Alex Jones level stuff right here.
Not only a conspiracy, but a demon conspiracy.
Six.
And you know, Carl, he said that he made a promise to his best friend to tell the story. So did he know that Corey Haim was going to OD? Because why wouldn't Corey Haim have just told the story unless he knew he was going to die?
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. The Corey Feldman timeline is wrought with errors. So my next track, number 15, this is funny because Corey Feldman is so paranoid. It doesn't mean they're not after him, but he is so paranoid.
He is.
What the hell that I went through? Two attempts on my life. Spies into my house. They literally had people pretending to be band members who were actually there to sabotage me. I mean, this thing went Corey. So deep.
That's what I mean. This is this high marriage, level
destroying
espionage.
My life, destroying everything. I mean, it's just they did so much.
And you know what?
Damage.
This is for real. Look what the guy puts out. After all that, a heart.
Oh God, the way his headphones are on upside down is
driving me nuts. So driving me nuts.
I'm gonna try
the entire episode, Brandon, he has to hold his headphones because he doesn't want to fuck up his hair. Yeah. He can't just put his headphones on normally because it would mess up his perfect hair.
I'm going
to
try.
So he has to hold him like this, and it's so frustrating. Oh, can we? I want to get into this, Mark. Let's ease our way into this because I have a lot of questions about this box set. So he's had to promote the box set. But let's back up. Let's start with this. This is the fun conversation they start off with. My track number one, Corey's wearing a necklace that has the number 22 on it.
Oh.
We're going to find out why that is.
I mean, the whole public knows your ride, your journey, stardom, some of the other stuff.
I know it's hard to believe because I'm only 22, but
well,
see that 22.
Wait, what's the significance of that?
This is my number 22. It signifies my age. Mentally, spiritually.
Yeah.
You know
okay.
I mean,
yeah.
You know,
mentally,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Harlan's deadpan right there is so perfect. And it comes out that he edits these shows himself. Oh. So you can tell this guy edited this perfectly with his reaction staring at the camera like, well, mentally, yeah, for sure.
No, he did a great job on this because it is very hard to do this when the person is right in front of you and they're saying things like, 22 is his lucky number. He put out the box set, didn't he say, on the 22nd anniversary of his best friend's death?
So he puts out everything on the 22nd of the month.
Okay. Right.
Because 22 is his lucky number. And in my track number two, it's funny because remember that that documentary we were talking about was a big deal for him. For some reason, that got put out on March 10th. But other than that, everything is put out on the 22nd.
Did you find all the incredible work that went into the box set in terms of baking the original tapes, you know, in order to get the perfect original?
Don't get ahead of me here, Drew.
Okay.
We got to go through this because there's so much bullshit going on during this interview. It's so fantastic. But yeah, let's play my track number two, just talking about how 22 is his lucky number here.
No, everything I put out, literally, if you watch the history, I put everything out on the 22nd. of whatever month.
Yeah.
I mean, I released that documentary. It was like,
yeah,
you know, on 2/22 we sold the tickets, and then on like, I think it was March 10th, we had to put it out because it was a year, it was a 10-year anniversary of my best friend's death, which was the significance of that. But we started selling the tickets on 2/22/20. I put it out in the year 2020 because it was a 22.
So
my book has 22 chapters. my last album, Angelic 2, The Core, was a double disc with 22 songs.
Wow.
I mean, it's just, it's a thing. It's
if
a
you
thing.
Ever kill yourself, you're going to use a 22 rifle?
It's not. It's not good.
Right. Well, I'm just trying to so, thanks, running thanks, with your Jerry. Theme.
His reaction shots are the best.
Arlen is so funny on this.
Really is.
I remember we watched Corey Feldman with Blossom.
Oh yeah, Mayim
Bialik.
A few
months ago, and she's so unfunny and just made the conversation so boring. Harlan does a fantastic job. Would you agree, Drew?
This is I thought it was great.
Look at that shot of him right there. so great.
But this just goes to show you that it's him. The numbers are in his head. He's doing everything 22, 222, 2020. So obviously he came up with that. They released the, they bought all the tickets on 666. That's all in his head. He's crazy.
I don't think the 20, has 22 really been that lucky for him? I don't.
No! When he explains his life, he's been molested. They've tried to kill him. All these bad things happen. He's like, yeah, but 22 is a real lucky number for
him. Infiltrated his band. That's a pretty extreme measure to go to. That terrible band.
All right. So the whole point of him being on the show is to promote the box set. The box set's been out for over a year at this point, and I think I remember him saying he only had like 200 of them made or 300 of them made, so I guess they're not selling.
I know. <it's...
laughs> And you know, even on his cameos, he promotes the box set. He's just talking to one person. So he's desperate to sell these things, and he's such a cornball. Play my number three here. We introduced the box set.
You know, it's like I've got very exciting things happening. We've got this box set out, which we're here to talk
Can
about.
Can I hold this up?
Hold it, baby. Look at this thing.
Oh, this is big, some of the best packaging I've ever seen in my life.
That's what she said.
Oh, hey! Oh. Hey.
Michael, please.
Here he is.
Please.
Come on. Pretty good stuff, Corey. Pretty good stuff.
Dork.
And Carl, he comes back with "That's what she said" later in the podcast when Harlan says, "I was going to stuff the mask inside," and he says, "That's what she said."
All right, it's my track 16. This is the problem with Drew watching these shows.
I know.
I'm sorry.
Stop watching.
I'm sorry.
Track 16.
You know what? Actually, you know what we're going to do? Open the lid.
No, it's not. It's not a full box.
I was going to stuff the mask inside.
Oh well, that's what she said.
Or he said.
What is that? Stuff the mask?
Doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense. He's such a cornball. It's so bad. Now, okay, so this box set is called Corey Feldman's Love Left 2.1. Why isn't it 2.2? He goes on this whole thing about 22 is his number, and then it's 2.1?
A fair question. If only we could get it to Harlan.
The best is, I think you're going to enjoy this one, Drew. I'm sure you remember when Harlan asked him how much this thing costs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
This is so, track number four, this is so funny.
Wow. Nothing like this has ever been created.
How much is something like this? How
it
much
goes
are they
for the low, low price.
Good Lord.
Of, what is it? I think it's like around $300, $350, something
Whoa,
like that.
Really?
Yeah, it's expensive.
Dollars?
It's expensive.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Wow.
So, I love Harlan's reaction. He's like, whoa, what are you nuts?
But he later says something about it's $250, but if he signs it, maybe it's $350. He acts like he doesn't know. I think he's so embarrassed by the price that he just acts like he doesn't know. But if he signed it, it would be another $100?
All right.
It's
so
ridiculous.
It's unsigned. It's $275. If he signs it, it's $350. Either way, the shipping on it is $140 domestic.
What is he delivering it himself?
$140 to ship this thing. And then it says if you're in Europe or Australia, it's going to cost a lot more than that.
Oh, my God.
Right, let's pull up that picture that I sent you of the box set. I want to analyze this because this is so all over the fucking place. The marketing here is terrible.
Who would buy this?
So, all right. So let me just explain this to people. So it says, Love Left 2.1. It's shaped like a heart. It looks like 60s style with the colors and maybe 70s. He's got someone wailing on a guitar in the upper left. Then there's a hot babe underneath that guy. Mm-hmm. Corey's in the middle. He looks contemplative. Mm-hmm. And then in the upper right, there's a black man holding a sign that says, "I can't breathe," and a police officer aiming at the back of his head. What the fuck?
Is that what that is?
That's what that is? I did not see that, Carl. Great observation.
God. What the hell?
And underneath that is a woman with a knife who's stabbing somebody. I don't know if that's supposed to be Corey's head.
That might be one of the angels.
No one was shot for having an "I can't breathe" sign. The guy died because he couldn't breathe.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. I don't understand what the message is here, especially because what throws me off the most is the guy wailing on the guitar. Is this a political message or is it just a cool rock album?
It's pretty cool. What does it say on his guitar there? It says Daniel. It looks like Daniel.
It does look like Daniel.
Sure. Yeah, I don't know what that's about.
What a horrible design. I can't believe he thought this was good.
Carl, I think you're a good person to ask, what would be the MO of one of the guitarists in the Corey Feldman band? How down on your luck do you have to be to take that gig? Or is that maybe, does it get you somewhere else?
I love that you pointed out you guys were going back and watching old concert footage. It's the same people in his band for all these years. I can't imagine the first time they book a show at a minor league ballpark and you're playing in the atrium, like between innings, I'm quitting that band. Like, God, this is not working out. We're not doing well.
No, I mean, they did play Riot Fest. I mean, they do get a good gig once in a blue moon, but then people there mostly laugh at you.
I still think they should get the Super Bowl halftime show. I want to start a petition. I want to get this done.
Oh, I can just see them chanting, "Here he comes, the comeback king at the Super Bowl."
Here he comes, the comeback king.
And then who knows what kind of malfunction they'll have technically.
Well, you would not want him to have any extra help for the Super Bowl.
He's definitely yelling at the girl with the laptop.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And the screen's not going to work. And he'll explain the screen.
He'll be calling out the officials. What about that play in the second quarter? That was definitely pass interference. He's all mad about the game. That'd be great. I'd love that.
I wish it would be 22-22 at half, too. It would blow his mind.
Mark, where was the gig yesterday we were playing the gig from? Was it? It was overseas somewhere.
Oh, Taiwan. The Taiwan gig.
What would be the math of being able to his band being able to afford to play in Taiwan? That's absurd. There's no way you could draw enough people for a show.
I didn't get a chance to mention it yesterday, but watching the video, I don't know if you noticed that there's a a stand, like a speaker stand there with multiple mics. So I felt like it was some kind of off-brand award show, and he was the entertainment for whatever this Taiwanese award show was.
Okay, so they paid for it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Just to have Corey Feldman there.
No way.
You guys are pronouncing China incorrectly. I just want to point that out. The official stance of WATP.
They don't recognize them.
They don't recognize that, whatever you're talking about. All right, so speaking of his live shows, he's talking about how he puts on these shows, and it's art. And the way he knows that is by getting reactions out of people. This is my track number 5.
I love entertaining. I love putting on a good show.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what it's all about. It's about giving your best and doing, you know, just like you do on stage every night. It's the same thing, you know, whether you're telling jokes or you're making people cry or making them dance, you know, it doesn't really matter. Or even if you make them walk out of the room, it really doesn't matter. The point is you're doing something and you're getting a reaction. That's what art is about.
That's a low bar right there. People leave as you're performing. Yeah. We did it. It's art.
He really knows how to turn lemon into lemonade, right?
He really does.
Anything.
It does get him over the art bar, which is the most important thing. He barely makes it over, but he gets over.
Why does he bring that up? Why is he? He's acting like he's making people cry at these shows. He's definitely not. Maybe there's some dancing going on.
Hey, give him a break. He's only 22. He's got a lot to learn.
That's true. That's mentally, yes. So then, speaking of his immaturity, Harlan decides to read some of Corey's lyrics to him.
All right.
Everyone knows that my name ain't Stacy. I like angels. That's my thing. Everybody wants to buy you a ring, but I tell you now, now's my thing. Ding, ding, a ring, ding, ding.
Yeah, okay. That's awful.
Well, that's so bad.
He even made Corey laugh.
Yeah. That's our great lyrics, Corey.
God, Harlan's right. Fucking great on this.
He
man.
Did a great
He's
job.
So funny.
He did.
He's so funny. He keeps Corey engaged. He goes along with all of his crazy nonsense, which is good. I got to do that with Corey, obviously, but he's still goofed up to his face. Now, Corey's going to bring up the fact that he was not a child actor, a child slave.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
I was basically a child slave who was put into the industry against my will at 3 years old. I mean.
Wait, so that McDonald's commercial, the Christmas McDonald's commercial, you were like forced to be a Christmas baby?
Let's put it this way. I wasn't forced. Like, they didn't shove me in front of the camera and say, stay there or I'll kill you. But, you know, it was more like.
Wow.
You know, look, let's put it very simply. At 3 years old, are you making career choices?
No.
At 3 years old, are you deciding what the rest of your life should be?
No.
At 3 years old, are you thinking about what your job, career, or profession should be?
No, but at 3 years old, I am thinking about McDonald's. I'll tell you that there much. You know.
So the point is that you know, my parents didn't really ask if this is what I wanted. They just put me in it. And the point is, once you're famous, there's no erasing that.
Yeah, you just get sucked into the slipstream, right?
Right.
Oh, you poor thing.
But by that definition, all three-year-olds are slaves.
Yeah, no matter what you force them to do.
Yeah, your parents decide everything for you.
It's called being a child, not being a slave.
I want to mention, too,
that's insulting to all slaves, what he just said.
I think it's funny that Corey, like Stuttering John, remembers all his great moments because he even recalls that McDonald's commercial he did at age 3 won a Clio Award.
Oh,
yes. I had to look that commercial up. Have you guys seen it from 1976?
No.
No.
I watched it because they were talking about it quite a bit. It's a 60-second spot, and I forgot TV was so different in the 70s. It takes forever. It's like Corey,
the commercial.
He's this little kid. He wakes up in the middle of the night, and he gets a 50-cent gift certificate to McDonald's. And you watch him in real time walk it all the way downstairs to where they're putting out cookies for Santa because he wants to give Santa 50 cents off. A Big Mac.
Oh,
I remember
so
this
nice.
Spot. I remember this one.
Oh, this takes forever.
What a great actor, though.
He turns on the light. Would a three-year-old really know the certificate was sitting in there?
Well, he just found it.
He had this planned all along. I mean,
look at that poor slave.
Every step we're watching. Why?
Yeah, you got the edge of your seat, man. What's he going to do with this 50-cent coupon? Is he going to wrap it up and give it to someone else?
Slow down. McDonald's gift certificates. 50 cents each, or a book of 10 for $5. Something special for someone special.
Well, he stole Santa's cookie.
Yeah, what a dick. Oh, my Lord.
And that launched one hell of a career.
Sure did.
That one a Clio?
Low bar.
It's not a good commercial. So what he's saying here is that he was forced into celebrity by his parents. There was no way to get out. He had no other choice. And you would think, because I know you guys were talking about, what's his name, Barry Williams.
Barry Williams.
Yeah, I know you guys. We're talking about him and how he's like really trying to hold on to any type of fame and notoriety in any way that he can. He's
in Branson.
That. Yeah. So this idea that as soon as you're a celebrity at the age of 3 or 7, whatever Corey's complaining about, now he has to do this the rest of his life.
Well, yeah, it's slavery, not indentured servitude.
It's just not the case. But this is what he says in track number 8. He explains this.
Oh, okay.
Go back.
Yeah.
And it's not like you can do, like, you know, 15 number one films and then go work at Blockbuster or work at Taco Bell or whatever.
Why not? And you were in, like, number one films. You're in a lot of them.
Right.
Can you disappear? Don't some of these celebrities kind of slip off the radar?
Well, they do. Maybe if at, you know, 18 I said, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or 22.
But even still, it's pretty hard when you've got a legacy of those kinds of films. We're not talking about, you know, DC Cab or something. We're talking about,
wow. That's a ripe one.
What's funny about this exchange is that Corey is saying, you know, I was a slave when I was younger. My parents put me into this, and then I was so good at it that I was a huge movie star. And so what am I going to do? Get a normal job like a normal person? But then after that, he explains that once he got into his early 20s, he was in all these B movies and crappy things just to keep working. Because his manager told him, you got to show that you're still working. You got to show that you're still out there in order to keep getting roles. So he had to work very hard at maintaining his celebrity. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth here.
I agree with Harlan. I think celebrities that are child stars that are celebrities, quote unquote, or the reverse, they can just disappear. Some of them do just disappear. Mm-hmm. He made it sound like, oh my God, of course not.
Blockbuster. Yes.
Yeah, some of them really fall on terribly hard times, or some of them have normal lives. It happens more often than not.
Yeah, when was the last time we saw Dana Plato, right? I mean, she just disappeared.
Well, she did die, didn't she?
What?
I think she did.
No, I know.
In the 90s.
Good example, though. So, my track number 9, Corey's talking about how great it is that he does everything himself, you know, in the digital age, and then Harlan being hilarious brings it back to his box set again.
And thank God we're in the digital age. We're now, I own my own label. I have distribution through Sony. And you know, we make our own stuff, our own product in our studio. We created this box set from scratch.
We're back to this again. Yeah. Okay. Here we go, folks. For $300, you can have everything that was ever made. Even the animals from Noah's Ark are in here.
Oh, boy.
God. When he does announce the price, I didn't pull this clip, but Drew, you probably remember, he does announce the price, and, you know, they're like, wow, that seems really expensive. And then he goes, yeah, but there's also stickers in there and guitar picks.
Defending it.
So much random shit in this thing.
I would like to see the accounting of Corey's own label that he owns.
Yeah.
Is there anything on that label that makes any money? That sounds ridiculous.
Is there anything other than Corey on there? Do we know?
Can't be. Who would sign his label?
The Angels. Maybe they have their own solo stuff.
Yeah.
He's not doing the Angels anymore. He's moved past that, Mark. Oh. Come on.
I don't think there's much income there. And I would love to know how many of those box sets they've actually sold. I mean, because he's been promoting this thing nonstop. He'll use any opportunity. When he's singing in front of 40 people at a pool, he's promoting his box set.
We've seen it.
I'm not even sure if the box set actually exists, because he doesn't let Harlan open that one because he says, oh, no, it doesn't have the stuff in it. And if you go on his website, it still says you can pre-order it. So I think he's waiting for enough of them to be sold to actually make them.
Oh.
I don't know.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, could be. No, it was that was really awkward when he said, no, don't open it up. Because why would there be nothing in there? Why would you bring in an empty box?
It's bizarre. So Harlan brings up his relationship with Michael Jackson. And I guess Harlan didn't realize that Corey is very protective of Michael Jackson and his reputation. And so he does not like words like Jacko. That's for sure.
Oh, boy.
Track 10.
Track 10, okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I have a question I got to ask, because you might be the only one who can answer this.
Okay.
You just said it. You were buddies with Jacko, right?
Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah, yeah.
You were at the Neverland Ranch, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell this audience once and for all what the term means?
Yes. It's an exuberant feeling of self-indulgence on the dance floor specifically.
What?
Huh?
It was a joke question, and Corey decides to answer it seriously.
Oh, my God.
There was no definition for that. It just sounded good.
Well, that's when we all learned something. My track number 11, this conversation continues.
Oh, great.
And we actually learned what Shamona means.
is it Shamona? Or is it... I thought it was chee with a CH.
No.
What is it? I think it's chee.
No, no. You're thinking of Shimon. Shimon.
What?
Shimon.
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 What's Shimon?
Well, it's come on. But it's like slang, you know? It's like
so he just changed come on?
That's all it is.
To Shimon?
It's simple. It's, you know, that's genius, right? It's just that one fine little detail that changes
stupid.
It from...
By the way, it's Shamon.
Shamon.
It's not Shamon. Isn't it Shamon?
Are we having the same conversation right now,
kind
Drew?
What's happening? I don't think it's Shamon.
Shamon.
Stupid.
No.
This is the most perfect response. Yeah, because
it's so funny. He goes, it's genius. He goes, oh, it's stupid. It's so funny. So he continues this line of questioning about Michael Jackson and the fact he has a reputation of molesting children, and Corey Feldman was a cute child, so it seems like maybe that's why there was a relationship there to begin with. This is track 12 talking about that.
And you were never, you never felt weird around him, or there's no, like,
I mean,
weird
I did.
Stuff?
I mean, the time when he made me wear a dress to dinner, I thought that was a little strange.
But...
Okay.
Then he said she. Yeah. And it was like, she. Yeah.
And where did that finger go?
Hey.
Yeah, that one.
No.
Oh, my God. Herlin's great.
That one.
Yeah. Did you pull the clip where Corey said, which he said a few times, you need to read my book?
Yeah. Okay. So I was just about to say that, Drew. It's so funny. My next note is multiple times Corey goes, well, you got to read my book. And finally, Harlan goes, I didn't even know you wrote a book. I'm talking to you now. Can you just answer? Which is really funny.
He had earlier said he didn't even know he really had a music career, too.
Yeah, I know. That was really funny. He goes, oh, this isn't just like a side thing you're doing as a goof? Is
it real? This guy's got a box set. I didn't even know he made music.
I never, ever do this on this show. I recommend people go watch this entire. It's about an hour long. It's very funny.
It'll be linked in the notes.
Well worth it. But, you know, yes. Harlan had the greatest answer to the read my book thing is, look, I'm not going to read. I didn't even know you had a book, and you're right here. Why don't you just tell me now?
Yeah.
Right. Oh, I hate when people do that. They're like, well, what does he call it? The choreography?
Yeah, yes. Choreography, a memoir.
Yeah. It's like, why don't you read the choreography? I'm like, I got better shit to do. I think Harlan even says, I don't have time for that.
Yeah, and you're right here to give me the highlights instead of reading the whole damn thing.
I have one more clip on here. It's actually not a fun one, so it's not a great way to end this segment, but why not? So we're talking about his doc, and we're talking about his best friend, Corey Haim, being raped by Charlie Sheen. Again, they don't mention Charlie Sheen, but in my track 13, he pretty much mentions him.
Is this Corey Haim?
Yes.
And he was molested by the same...
He was raped by this man.
So
at 13 years old.
Do you think there are other victims as well, or was it just you two?
Oh, no, there's got to be.
I'm sorry,
well,
man.
Well, first
That's
of all,
tough.
As far as from that That's person, tough. I'm sure there's plenty of other victims that they've silenced. I know there is, because this man has a record of beating, stabbing, shooting, strangling his ex-girlfriends, because... obviously, he doesn't like women very much. But that's another story altogether.
Shooting?
But why...
Yeah!
Why would he be raping Corey Haim? He's...
Yeah, he likes
is
women.
Is there any evidence that he likes men in a sexual way? I never saw any indication ever.
I know. Obviously, he doesn't like women. I'm like, we talk about Charlie Sheen? What do you mean? I think he likes women a lot.
Yeah.
He didn't shoot any women.
He has a Who's Dated Who with 48 women on it, and I don't see any dudes in there.
So I had to look this up, guys. Kelly Preston.
Yeah, I remember the story.
Who, of course, married a guy who wanted nothing to do with her. Yeah. So I don't know what her deal is. But her and Charlie were dating, and the story was she had picked up a pair of his pants off the floor that had a revolver in it, which dropped onto the ground, discharged, hit the toilet, and then a piece of the toilet hit her in the wrist, and she had to go to the hospital for it.
Wow.
That seems pretty nuts, right?
That seems like an excuse for something else.
Yeah,
sounds like BS.
The old guy slipped and hit the doorknob. Yeah.
You know what? One of my favorite revelations in the interview, and I'm like Carl, I think it's well worth watching the whole thing, was that Corey starts talking about his dad. Most importantly, his parents were mean to him. They fought with each other. His dad, of course, abused him. But his dad was in the entertainment business, and by being in the entertainment business, he meant that he was in the third iteration of the Strawberry Alarm Clock, a one-hit wonder, which did Incense and Peppermints, but he was not in the band when they wrote Incense and Peppermints. But he was in the third iteration of the band after that.
Oh, yeah.
That is a very loose connection to celebrity.
Yeah, at that point, I think it was like called Strawberry Starship or something. Like, what's the
exactly.
Why is that band still going? Who gives a shit?
I know.
That was funny because they were complaining that if you look up who Corey Feldman's dad is, all the information on the internet is incorrect. So Corey wanted to set the record straight.